Dana Workman from Haunted Highway on Sci-Fi, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. Boom.
This is True TV's haunting evidence investigator, Patrick Burns.
And ghost huntress author, Marley Gibson.
And you're listening to Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli.
Hey everybody, this is Rex Williams, the medic from Destination Truth, and you're listening to the ghost host, Sophia, on LiveParanormal.com. This is Christopher Sanders with My Ghost Story on Biography. You are listening to the ghost host with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com.
And Michael Perry.
And we're here. Hello, we're here at the Ghost Host, who is Sophia Temporelli, and weekly at liveparanormal.com.
This is Bill Murphy of Sci-Fi Channel's Fact or Fake Paranormal Files, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
Hi, this is Professor Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, and you're listening to the Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com.
This is author Alexandra Holzer, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli.
Hi, this is Jeff Belanger, host of 30 Odd Minutes, founder of GhostVillage.com, and author of lots of your favorite paranormal books, and you're listening to the ghost host, Sophia, on LiveParanormal.com. Boom!
This is Nick Roth, executive producer of Ghost Adventures, the original documentary in Ghost Adventures, season 1 through 10, and executive producer of Ghost Stalkers, author of Chasing Spirits, the building of the Ghost Adventures crew, and founder of NickGroffTours.com. You are listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Tune in.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
She grew up with ghosts. As the ghost host, it's Sophia Temporelli, 8 years of broadcasting on LiveParanormal.com. Congratulations, Sophia.
That's right, it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com, where hands down, this is the world's most unique paranormal broadcast, where 20-year-old Sophia Temporelli discusses all the latest haunt topics with all the paranormal field experts themselves, and today is no exception. Congratulations, Sophia, on over 8 years of broadcasting here on LiveParanormal.com and History FM. And we have a word here from a Live Paranormal that due to the blizzard, the original number, the 619 number, is down. So everybody, if you're calling into the show, call 347-202-0316. That's 347-202-0316. And I want to thank our moderators. Thank you guys for patching us through at live events in the past. And to Rob Sirk, the site founder of Live Paranormal, for making this show possible each and every week. Today, we welcome Any Voices Paranormal Investigations founding team researchers, Tony and Cherie Rathman. Everyone visit entityvoices.com. That's entityvoices.com. CopperCanyonPRC.com, Twitter at Entity Voices, YouTube search Entity Voices Paranormal Investigations, and UniversalParanormal.com. Coming up, starting after we get back from the break, we have Fox Valley Ghost Hunters, Travis and Melissa Clevenger. That'll be on the first week of January, January 11th when we get back. The Heritage Hunters Society founder Michael Laciana returns on air live on the 18th of January, 2020. Award-winning Let's Talk Paranormal show host Tracy Austin on the show January 25th. And Squatch Files research team founder, author John Cui Kendall returns to the show. That's going to be February 15th. So you don't want to miss any of these upcoming shows for the new year starting at that time. And we have also some guests securing their spots too as well leading into the new year. So a lot of great shows coming up. So like the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com Facebook fan page to learn about the guests as we learn of them real time. Also to like liveparanormal.com Facebook group page. A lot of new paranormal investigative team member panel roundups on the weekend. So a lot of great new venues added to Live Paranormal. Also, liveparanormal.com, the memberships, they start as low as $2.99 a month. And Rob Surik, the site founder, he's great at rewarding the members here. So a lot of great autographed books by some of your favorite paranormal authors, DVDs, things of that type. He's great at rewarding all the members here. Support the vendors here on liveparanormal.com. So if you're getting grandma a mail meter for Christmas, check out the vendor pages here on Live Paranormal. And tonight, starting Live Paranormal at 7 p.m. Eastern, Beyond the Screen and Ghost Light Radio, as well as monthly Mondays right here at Chip Coffee of A&E's Paranormal State and Psychic Kids, as well as Ben Hansen, Amy Goodwin, David M. Roundtree, Stefan Brigati, Andy and Michelle Kopic, Ken Gearhard, and many more right here on this very network. If you miss anything, archive shows, they're available as free MP4 iTunes downloads on the homepage of liveparanormal.com. And let's see here. Let's bring in our host here, the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli. Hi, Sophia. Are you there?
Hey.
Yeah, congratulations on 8 years of broadcasting. You're doing a fantastic job. Everybody gets a lot of help from your show. You're doing a fantastic job, Sophia.
Thank you. I can't believe it's already been 8 years.
I know, 8 years. You got all these pages. You got the Instagram. You got the Twitter. You got all these different things. Where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter at Sophia Temporelli with one L and Instagram just at Sophia Temporelli.
Yeah, we cursed you with a long name. So you just drop one of the L's
in
Temporelli
did.
And you can basically find her on all those pages. And also YouTube by search, The Ghost Host, a lot of great new videos that you have out there too as well now. And so, Sophia, tell us about our guest today.
Today, we welcome Entity Voices Paranormal Investigations founding researchers Tony and Sherry Rathman onto the show. Everyone visit entityvoices.com, coppercanyonprc.com, Twitter at Entity Voices, YouTube search Entity Voices Paranormal Investigations, and Universal Paranormal. Let's welcome them into the show.
All right, Tony, Sherry, it's unmuting. There we have you with Sophia right now. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Hi, how are you guys?
Hey, good. Thank you both so much for coming on today. How are you?
We're doing great.
Doing well here.
So to start off, how did EVPI secure such an iconic location like the old Phelps Dodge Hospital in Arizona to coordinate and host public team investigations? And can you let us know the rich history behind the location?
Yeah, the location of that hospital was originally built in construction started in 1918, and the hospital opened in 1919. It was originally built for the mining operations that were happening in Ajo, and then it was later purchased by the Phelps Dodge Mining Corporation. And it ran from about 1919 to 1986 when the mine closed. And then Phelps Dodge just plain shut the hospital down and it was left abandoned. It was left abandoned for roughly about 40 some years before Cherie and I decided to turn it into a paranormal research center. We had gotten the opportunity to investigate for about 3 or 4 hours one night in it. And the activity that we captured just blew us away. We've investigated all over the United States. And what we captured just in those few hours just blew us away. And we said, okay, we've got to find a way to open this for other paranormal investigators to experience what we've had the opportunity to experience. So, of course, we got a hold of the owner and negotiated some deals. And now it's open as the Copper Canyon Paranormal Research Center and can be booked 365 nights a year for a 10-hour investigation.
Wow.
Well, that's amazing you were able to, you know, turn such an iconic location into, you know, headquarters for your investigations. I know it's always great, you know, to find locations like that and really just preserve them.
Correct. Right. And that's part of what we're doing as well, is to keep that building around, keep it open. And like I said, the paranormal activity that occurs there is just phenomenal. And we want to give the opportunity for other paranormal investigators to experience it as well.
What are some of the things you've captured there?
Wow, that would be a long list. But, I mean, we've captured everything from doors opening and closing, doorknobs turning, shadow figures, voices, objects moving. At times, we'll leave parabolic mics in certain areas of the hospital and then leave. And then we'll come back 4, 5, 6 hours later, retrieve the recording, and knowing there's not a soul in the hospital anymore, what we capture on those recordings is just phenomenal. I mean, there's people talking. There's items you can hear shuffling around, doors banging.
And there's like sound like chair moving.
Chairs
but
moving,
chair over
right.
There.
Hearts being pushed. It's as if they've never stopped working.
Well, that's, you know, really incredible that you guys are able to, you know, kind of freely investigate a location like that, you know, test out different, you know, tools and just like figure out what works best. I know a lot of investigators don't have that. So it's great that you guys are able to, you know, really experience the paranormal in a different way with owning a location like that.
Yeah, it definitely has been a huge advantage from our own personal experiences. I mean, when you go to other locations and you stay the night or rent them out for an investigation.
You have a limited time.
Yes, your time is limited. And this takes that away from us. I mean, we obviously have access 24/7. And of course, you know, on a night where we're not busy with something else, that's usually where we head. And it's given us an opportunity, like you said, to test so many theories and test equipment and test just about anything we could think of. And that opportunity obviously still exists for us today. So yeah, it's a wonderful arrangement of opportunities.
Definitely. And, you know, as an investigative couple, I know a lot of teams have specific roles within them. Do you each have kind of specific roles that you have with, you know, your partnership, or do you kind of just freely, you know, flow through investigations and go where needed?
No, we definitely have specific roles, and there's also specific equipment that we both tend to favor. Sheree, you want to tell them what you favor?
Well, my favorite is my digital recorder.
Right.
And also my cell phone. And you know that.
Well, you've captured amazing things on your cell phone.
Right. I love recording or EVP and the video. Mostly my Melmeter is so amazing. We can capture anything that, you know, what's in that building. And pretty much I am a handy dandy wife of Tony carrying all his stuff.
Oh, that's not true. I'll trade you jobs someday on that.
Yeah.
No, but my preference in equipment ranges from, we picked up a new, it's called an EDI or an ED, and it's a multi-tracking device, and it records the data and it captures EMF, humidity, pressure changes, disturbances of frequency. So in other words, if somebody's walking, it captures all this simultaneously. So if we're, and of course, EVPs is a big one of mine too. And the other one, which Sheree doesn't really get into, but of course is ITC. And I've probably built in the last 10 years, probably about 10 different boxes, but my latest, which I call the Evox, just has worked phenomenal. And that's one of my favorite devices to use as well to get spirits to communicate.
That's amazing that you've built all that. What initially started you in wanting to build your own equipment?
Well, you know, this is a funny story, because when Sheree and I first met, I was a complete skeptic. I did not believe in ghosts. And my wife would always watch the paranormal shows, and she'd always say to me, you know, come watch with me. And I'd sit through about 3 minutes of it, and I'd say, this isn't real. This is just for TV. Of course, that's all changed now. But one Valentine's Day, she said to me, I want to do something different. I said, okay, what do you want to do? She goes, I want to go to someplace haunted. So I was like, oh, geez. So anyway, I booked a location for a weekend, and I bought her some relatively inexpensive equipment at that time, EMS meter, a digital recorder, and a night vision camera. And we went off for the weekend. Well,
I'll say you bought me a cheap mic, too.
Yeah, I did. I did. But anyway, yeah, I wasn't expecting.
It's so funny. I hope you still have that video.
I do. Matter of fact, I saw some of those videos the other day. It was quite embarrassing. Okay. But anyway, we went, and she had a wonderful time, and she got to do what she wanted to do. It wasn't until she got the audio recordings, the video recordings, and the pictures home the next day, or after that weekend the next day, and we started going through them. And she was calling me over every 5 minutes. Listen to this. Look what's in this picture. What is this? Look what I captured on video. I was absolutely blown away. And I spent probably the next 5 months trying to find a scientific explanation for how these voices got on there. We were one of three guests in the entire hotel. They have seven floors. We weren't running into other people. But we had voices answering our questions. We had images in the pictures. Cherie even caught an apparition on the video reflecting in a mirror. And like I said,
wow.
it's just
amazing.
It blew me away. And that's what started the whole obsession with paranormal. And we went back to that hotel probably how many times now?
More than 50 times.
More than 50 times. And then, of course, that's where we started.
For years.
Yeah, for a year. And then we branched out, and it just continued to grow. And today, it's more alive than ever. And we continue. We've traveled all over the U.S. We've been to a good majority of the haunted locations. And about 6 months ago, we left the country now going after locations. And we went over to the Philippines and investigated. Did an overnight investigation in the Diplomat Hotel, which was absolutely the most fascinating place I've stepped foot in so far.
That's amazing that you've been able to travel abroad with that. Cherie, could you tell us a little bit about the locations you investigated in the Philippines and some of your stories your family told you when growing up in a haunted home?
Hold on 1 second, Sophia. She stepped away for a minute.
Okay.
She's coming right back.
Was that her
Yeah,
sandals?
No problem.
So sorry about that.
Oh, it's fine.
She asked about the Diplomat, how it was, and the stories that you grew up with from the Philippines.
Oh, it's amazing. It's also my first time going to that location. I was born and raised in the Philippines, but never really explore my own country. So Six months ago, and we went to this Diplomat Hotel. It's a very famous haunted location, and I believe it's very few people that investigated that place. So we got an opportunity to investigate, and oh my God, I kid you not, the moment I stepped foot in that building, in less than 5 minutes, I asked Tony if we can take a quick break. And he's like, we just started, and I can't shake myself, and there's something in that building that I can't, you know, continue investigate.
There were so many presences in that building that even
voices.
The first 5 minutes, you could hear them talking, and the building is under protective guard. There's guards at the front gate, and we had to get a signed letter from the mayor to get permission to spend the night and investigate. Well, when we handed the letter to the guard let us in the gate, took about five steps towards the building and said, have fun. He would not even come close to it, let alone go into that night. We thought, wow, that's odd.
Right.
But there were the voices that were speaking, we could hear with our own ears. And that's when Cherie said, you know, let's take a break. I'm like, it's raining outside. Why? She's like, can we go outside? Let's take a break. I'm like, it's raining. And then she said to me after we shut the cameras down and went outside, she goes, I didn't want to say it on camera, but I just needed to get out of there. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, we've been doing this for almost 10 years. This is the only place that I'm not going to go back there anymore. And Tony says that, yeah, let's go do it again. I'm like, okay, you can go, but you can take Chris, the other, our other team member.
But yeah, I'd go back in a second. There's so much going on there. And the history of the place is just amazing. I mean, it was originally a retreat house built by priests and nuns that were there. And during World War II, General Yamashita came in, took it over. Unfortunately, they beheaded the priests and the nuns that were there. There were all sorts of casualties during the war. And then there were some other personal suicides and stuff that occurred after all that. So, I mean, the history of tragedy in the building is just, it's extensive.
Well, that's amazing that you guys were able to experience that. I know so many investigators wish to investigate abroad, but, you know, never get the chance to because, you know, traveling is a lot. So, I mean, that's really incredible that you were able to. Yeah, it's incredible you guys were able to get that permission and stay there, even though it wasn't ideal for, you know, Sherry. I can definitely relate. There's the Queen Mary pool area is not a place I look forward to going into, and I frankly try and avoid it now. There's like really dark entity in there, so it's not a place that I like seek out to go to.
Yeah, we went there too.
Yeah, love the Queen Mary.
Yeah, love Queen Mary.
The difficulty with the Queen Mary though is that it's always busy, and that there's so many other areas of the ship that you'd really like to, you know, quietness so you can capture EVPs and hear what's going on, but there's always so many people. But love the Queen Mary, great location.
Right.
Yeah, the Queen Mary is great. You know, I've been there a lot of times, and it was the first place my parents and I ever investigated, and it's kind of similar to how you got into the field. My parents actually went on a tour there for their anniversary, and then I went on one after. Right. But it's that whole thing of, you know, kind of trying to do something different for their anniversary, and yeah, they figured it out.
Wow, that's great.
And I know you guys have a radio show. Can you tell us about your weekly broadcast and what the audience can expect when listening?
Well, I actually stopped doing that show quite a few months ago, only because, I mean, I love doing it. And what the show was based on was exactly what my wife and I do, is try to capture evidence. And then what evidence we capture, you know, for years, we didn't share anything. I just kept storing it on hard drives. And she said to me, are you ever going to share this stuff? So I don't know, 5-6 years ago, we started sharing it. But the radio show was based on that exact kind of example. We would have other investigators, other paranormal groups go out and investigate locations. And then they would come on the show and talk about, and we would play the EVPs and other evidence that they captured. And so it was a discussion point about how they captured it, what worked, what didn't work, what the location was like, you know, examples to other groups that may be going to that location so that they understood, you know, how they captured what they captured so they could, you know, simulate that experience. It was a great show. The biggest concern was just time-wise. I couldn't keep up with it with all the other things we had going on, including private home investigations, business investigations, running the hospital, and just plain everyday work.
Your daily.
Right, daily job.
Yeah, that actually brings me to my next question. How are you both able to balance, you know, life as an investigator, work, and just everything that surrounds that? I know, like you were saying, investigating is very time-consuming, and it's hard to manage sometimes.
That's definitely true, and it is a challenge. And Sheree and I face it probably every day, and we're trying to balance, you know, priorities with family, with work, with everything else that's going on. And that was one of the reasons why an investigation we did probably 7-8 months ago, we were down at the Birdcage Theater in Tombstone, Arizona, doing an investigation. And we met this other couple that was there also to investigate. And that's Chris and Audra, Chris Allgood and Audra Keeler. And it turned out we happened to be staying at the same bed and breakfast, which was also known to be haunted. And so we started mm-hmm. talking to them, and we realized that they lived basically a mile and a half from us. And so then we told them about the hospital, and of course they wanted to see it. So we took them down there. We investigated. I think we probably did that a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
And then we actually had them join our team because they were great investigators, and we shared the same interests. And of course, like you were, your original question about time, you know, we do public tours at the hospital mm-hmm. as well, where we allow people who have never experienced the paranormal, never investigated, don't own equipment. We supply all the equipment. We bring them in for roughly 2 hours. We give them about a 15-minute tour, and then they've got an hour and 45 to go off with the equipment and investigate for themselves and capture their own paranormal experiences. But again, that all takes time. So Chris and Audra now all help with that, help with the hospital. So it's always arranging that time to be able to keep your priorities in line and to keep doing what you love to do in paranormal we do.
Yeah, not only that, when during the weekend, we try, especially we have a total mm-hmm. of 5 kids. Four now, because my eldest is 28 years old. So we have now 3 little ones. So when we want to do investigation, we try to bring them with us. So they get to enjoy the hotel and while we're doing investigation at night. So
well, two of them enjoy it.
Yeah.
The other two hate it. So we got to balance that too.
Yeah.
So we have two of our children that like it. Of course, we're very protective of what they experience and where we take them, because we know the dangers that, especially to younger kids, but they're not very young. They're all teenagers now. So it's a little easier, but yeah, you know, things that we decide to do and places we decide to go and, you know, our kids, at least the ones that do show an interest in it, we do involve them as well.
Yeah, try to balance everything.
Well, it's always great to make it a family affair. I can attest to that. So it's great that, you know, some of your kids have that interest. I'm sure it's nice being able to, you know, share that with your kids and, you know, kind of teach them what you've learned through the paranormal.
Right, exactly, yes.
I know we have to take a quick commercial break, but we'll be right back with more questions.
It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. Today we're welcoming Entity Voices Paranormal Investigations founding researchers Tony and Cherie Rathman. Everyone visit EntityVoices.com. That's EntityVoices.com. And as they mentioned, for tours and hosted team investigations, CopperCanyonPRC.com. That's CopperCanyonPRC.com. Twitter at Entity Voices. YouTube search too as well. Entity Voices Paranormal Investigations and UniversalParanormal.com. It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. Also, too, the number, Blizzard back east, so the original main number, the offsite number is now in effect, 347-202-0316. That's 347-202-0316 for any questions for our guest today. The Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Dustin Perry, the Paranormal Rockstar, and you're listening to The Ghost Coast with the most, Sophia Temporelli, only on LiveParanormal.com.
Hey, this is Rick Hayes, the psychic medium, life consultant, author, and lecturer, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Believe.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporilli, on liveparanormal.com. This is Christopher Sanders with My Ghost Story on Biography. You are listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporilli, weekly 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. on liveparanormal.com.
Hi, this is Professor Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporilli on liveparanormal.com.
This is author Alexandra Holzer, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporilli.
Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporilli on liveparanormal.com. Today, our guests, Tony and Cherie Rathman. Everyone visit entityvoices.com. That's entityvoices.com. I'm trying to bring everybody back into the studio here, unmuting as we speak. And Tony, Cherie, you're unmuted now and back on with Sophia.
Yeah.
Thank you both again so much for coming on today.
Thank you for having us.
So, I know a little bit earlier in the show, you were talking about other members of your team. Can you tell us who all is a part of your team, and do they have individual roles like you were saying you kind of do?
Well, we have four now. Normally, it's just the two of us. So we added Chris Allgood and Audra Keeler, and now they're helping us to do investigate in residential locations and the tour.
Yeah, they've been a huge help actually, and they have very different investigative styles than Cherie and I have, and that has been nothing but a plus for us, because you know, just because you do it one way doesn't mean that's the right way, and other people's styles. We have learned more about ways to investigate from them than I ever would imagine possible. But like Chris used to be a police officer, and his investigative style is very different from mine, but works excellent for him. And
he's a sensitive
as well. So he's able to tell us, like we were standing in the hospital and we were standing in the one of the main surgery rooms. And just out of nowhere, he says, there's a woman in here. And I said, really? And didn't hear anything after that. But when we got back and listened to the recording, you hear him say, there's a woman in here. And immediately, and clear as can be, she says, you're right. And I would have never been able to pick that up. I'm not sensitive. but in order for him to be able to know that before any sign was even given was really amazing to me.
He has also a paranormal experience when he was very young.
Correct. Yeah,
I believe when he was like 5 years old.
Yeah, it started for him when he was very, very young, and has gone on ever since. But but in order to get to interact with that and to on a daily basis, at least weekly basis. But like Cherie said, they also now help us with private home investigations. We did one here in Phoenix. We were there back for the third time, and we actually had to clean the house. We had 25-year demonologist Joe Thompson.
Joe will like that.
Yeah, he would. 25-year demonologist Joe Thompson come out, or maybe it's even 30 years now.
Yeah.
He came out and helped us clear that one for the second time. And so far, I think things are good, but that was a tricky one.
Yeah, and we don't have any rules, so in our teams, it's really like I love our team.
Yeah, and yeah, you know, Audra was sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, it is great, like you were saying, to just be able to kind of combine all those different investigative styles, because there isn't, like you said, any right or wrong way. It is, you know, there's not any hard facts to what exactly works. So it really is just trial and error.
Right. And there's no drama at all, and totally very mature couple.
Yeah, that definitely helps, because, you know, I think everyone's aware who's been around in the paranormal for the last 5, 10 years or more, how it's changed and how complicated it's become. And, you know, the theory is we're all out to figure out the same thing, and why that drama occurs, I'm not sure, but it does. And it's sad, but, that is the one nice thing about our group, is there is no drama, and it's fun. I mean, we travel to multiple places. We'll take vacations together just to investigate. And, you know, so it, having that similar hobby is, makes it fun. So we asked them to join the team.
Yeah. And I know, since you were talking about different investigative styles, how do each of you approach going into an investigation? How do you prepare, and do you walk in there skeptically, or how do you kind of just investigate?
Well, obviously, you know, you've got to have a skeptical mind to begin with. Now, you don't walk in assuming that nothing is going on and it's a completely safe place. We still do our protective prayers. We take our protective objects, whether that be crosses, whether that be, you know, we've got an entire kit of sage, salt, holy water, you know, all the preparations, because you never know what you're going to run into. But you can't go in with the mindset that everything is happening and every little thing that occurs is paranormal. So it's a balance between objectively looking at what's occurring, objectively looking at what you captured, trying to work through it reasonably to decide, was that truly paranormal, or was that something of, you know, a natural occurrence? And then picking apart those two to determine what you've captured that is paranormal and what isn't. And if you didn't capture anything paranormal, well, then you might be able to say, okay, maybe there is nothing going on here. But it's that balance of, A, first of all, protecting yourself, because if you don't do that, you're asking for trouble. B, then going in with a skeptical mind that not everything that occurs is going to be paranormal, but to be able to scientifically identify what's abnormal and what's paranormal.
Yeah.
And that's how we go into every investigation.
Yeah, that's definitely always a good approach, because, you know, there is so much that can be debunked in the paranormal, but there also is so much that is actual evidence. And it's just trying to decipher which one's which that can sometimes be hard. And, you know, sometimes just knowing that what someone thinks is paranormal and isn't can help them so much when you are working on a residential case, like you mentioned you do.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, Cherie, I know you were talking a little bit with Tony earlier about how he started in the paranormal going on the tour on Valentine's Day, but what initially piqued your interest in the field, and has it been like that your whole life? What initially got you started?
Well, first of all, when I was at a young age also, I had a paranormal experience and back home. And then, so when I came back here, in the United States, I saw all of this TV show, paranormal TV show. I don't know if I'm allowed to say it, but I love Zach Bagans' Ghost Adventure. My daughter is the same age like you, 20 years old, and she's been watching that too for 15 years. So, and I'm like, when I had the paranormal experience, so I'm like, now I'm thinking, how is that possible? Can I talk to spirits? So when I had my phone and tried to do the EVP, and I'm like, there's some voices over here, and it's just me. I'm the only one in when I do the EVP in the living room, because we have some spirits in the house too. So I'm surprised, you know, you can't explain how is this occur. So now it's actually the curiosity that makes me into the field. It keeps going, so many questions about, you know, how is this possible? Where is this coming from? You know, is there really a ghost? That is the first thing, you know, when I started. And then so it kept growing and growing and growing.
Yeah, and for every answer we get, there's always 100 more questions attached to it. So it's kind of a trap. Once you start going down that road, you keep getting pulled back in because you want more answers.
Yeah, I have so many whys, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right. For sure. And I think that's a large reason why a lot of people start in the field, is they want to know what else is out there in this world. And, you know, are there other sides to what we don't see? I mean, what is the other side of the coin? And I think a lot of people just really want to know, you know, is there more to death and knowing that there is something else out there?
Right. That's true.
And, you know, with your kids, you know, having an interest, some of them, what has been your advice to them when going into an investigation? And just what would you like to pass down to other sets of investigators in the future?
Well, definitely safety. And that was the one thing that we made absolutely clear, that although this is fun, although it, you know, is exciting and mysterious and a little spooky, that there are real, true, everyday dangers that can happen. And so that was our first push. And then allowing them to get to experience it and to teach them slowly and step by step of how to do it, how to do it correctly, and give them the opportunity to understand what we do and why we do it. And that's how it started. Although I got to tell you, though, the first time we took my youngest son to the Hotel San Carlos,
he was 8 years old.
He was 9, I think, which was too young. We shouldn't have done it that young, but the hotel's not really frightening. And although there's a ton of activity there, we went down to the basement and we were doing EVP sessions, and we came home with the recordings and we started reviewing the EVP sessions. And my son on the recorder was saying just the most horrific, horrendous, derogatory statements about me on the recording. And then we realized half these words he wouldn't even have known at his age.
Right.
It wasn't him.
It's just me.
Oh, wow.
They were using his voice to make me think it was him. And so we cut him off until he was
a little
teenager,
right?
Just because, you know, it frightened us. And it was just a very unique experience. I still have those recordings today. We obviously didn't share them because there's some pretty awful things said on there, but it was just shocking because, you know, first I thought, oh my, why is my son saying this stuff?
Yeah.
But it wasn't him. He never said that. It was spirits imitating his voice, and they're incredible EVPs from that perspective, but just not very friendly.
Yeah. And it's not safe for them.
No. And that's why we stopped them at that age. Right.
Yeah, I think that's the thing about the paranormal, too, is you never know what you're going to get every time you walk into a situation. You can go to a very active location and capture nothing one day and go back the next and capture so much. It just differs every single day. And it's so different because you can't fully prepare for what you could capture or see or have happened to you at any given time at any location.
Yeah.
That's absolutely right. And that's the biggest, one of the biggest unknowns in the paranormal when you go out and investigate, is you said it yourself. You don't know what you're going
to
run into.
Yeah,
and
you have to prepare. when you're doing investigations. Not like, of course, you're too excited. You want to go investigate right away, but you're not really thinking like, you know,
you've always got to have that guard up. You always got to have that protection in place, whether you think something's there or not, because like you said, you just never know.
Yeah, I started in the paranormal when I was very young. Like with what happened with your son, I was actually 8 when I started. When my parents went, they knew the dangers in the field. So they always made sure when I went to a location that they knew that this location was safe. I mean, when I went on my first investigation at the Queen Mary, they specifically asked the psychic, is this okay for our daughter to go here? And he said, yeah, I haven't encountered a bad spirit here. And then when they investigated Alcatraz, they wouldn't take me. And, you know, even though you never know what you can capture, it does, you can kind of predict that through there. But, you know, like you said, the location you went to wasn't a prison or anything like that. It was a hotel. And that's the huge unknown, is what's there, even in the simplest of locations.
Yeah, that is absolutely correct,
too.
Yeah, I lived in a haunted house, too. So.
Yeah, us too.
Well, actually, ours wasn't until 10 years ago when we started doing this. And
once you open the door.
You do. And then when we started building ITC boxes to communicate, and then the last probably 4 or 5 months, the box has gotten some recognition due to the results that it's gotten. We got involved in some sort of true crime cases where they're asking us for, hey, what happened? Mm-hmm. Ask this, ask that. And I think a couple of those are hanging around now, too, waiting for us to, you know, ask more questions so that answers can be given. And when we can't turn on a digital recorder or a video camera in our house without it being filled with voices that are not ours.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we don't have any privacy in our home anymore.
No, we don't. We literally don't.
Yeah, it's very different when you actually, you know, live with the stuff. I mean, it's fun to investigate, but it is very, it's just unusual and so different from actually going to a location, investigating, and then coming home and still having that.
Right.
Arms reach. Well,
right.
Hey, go ahead.
Where were we that night that we were sitting on our bed at like 2:30 in the morning and that white figure went across?
We just finished investigation that night and then we came home.
Where were we?
Payson.
No, that wasn't Payson.
But anyway, in Phelps Dodge.
That was Phelps Dodge?
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. It was Phelps Dodge.
Yeah.
That was the first time.
That is the first
time. We came home from the first night of ever being inside the Phelps Dodge, and we were going through our recordings. It was late. It was like 2:30 in the morning, and this white mist figure just walked by the foot of the bed, and we both saw it, and we're both staring at it. And we have a white dog, so Cherie's like, was that the dog's tail? Is he in here? And, of course, I went up to look. He was nowhere even in the room. He was way on the other side of the house sleeping down the hallway. And, that was one of the first ones.
And both of us, we saw it. And we actually followed it with our own
With our own eyes, yeah. You could watch both of our heads spin as we watched it move.
Like, well, what
crazy.
The heck is that? That's not Loki.
No, that wasn't the dog.
That's Thor. I'm just kidding.
And, you know, speaking of living in a haunted house, I know you also mentioned that you help with residential cases. How can people contact you for that? And what is the coverage area for your team to actually investigate residential?
Well, you know, we don't necessarily have a specified coverage area. I mean, we had a lady contact us from Las Vegas who needed help, and you know, we picked a weekend that we were free, and we went out there, and we did investigate. We caught amazing stuff off of that one. In fact, that house had to be exorcised. It was that bad. But they can contact us at contact information on entityvoices.com, the Copper Canyon Paranormal Research Center, which is coppercanyonprc.com. There's also contact information there, email, phone number. They can reach us at contact at Entity Voices. They can reach us at contact at coppercanyonprc.com. They can reach us on Facebook. any of those methods. Telephone numbers are listed too on the websites. They can just call. If anyone is having any difficulties with paranormal activity of any sort, whether it's minor or major, and you're in a location, now obviously we're in Arizona, we're in Phoenix, Arizona, so we try to keep it somewhat contained, but hey, we may be traveling to your location, and if that happens, we'll be glad to help out. But any of those messages, they can contact us through.
And plus, we don't charge.
No, we don't. We do not, nor ever will, charge for personal home or business investigations. That's just the way we feel about it, and that'll never change.
Yeah, that's always helpful for people in these situations, too, because, you know, they can't help what's happened to them, and some people may not be able to, you know, travel to seek help or anything. So it's good to just, you know who's there to help them.
Right. And we are here to do that. So if anyone out there is listening saying, oh my gosh, I think I got stuff going on in my house and you're anywhere near us, feel free to contact us anytime.
And I know we're coming towards the end of the show, but where would each of you like to investigate the most in the world and why?
Oh boy, that's a tough one to pinpoint because there are so many items on our bucket list yet. But there's definitely places in Europe that we have not gotten to. That you know, in the U.S., if a building's more than 100 years old, you consider it old. But in Europe,
yeah.
I mean, buildings can be 600, 700, 800 or more years old, and the history behind them, and all the things that occurred. So the possibilities to get such a wider range of paranormal activity. I know for me, and I'm not going to speak for Sheree, I'll let her answer real quick, but for me, I would love to get to Europe. I'd love to get to some of the old castles, churches, places with real in-depth history behind them.
I will tag along with you wherever you go.
Oh, perfect. Okay, we're good.
Is that okay?
Sheree,
oh, of course.
Even like Yamashita's caves and, you know, a lot of, you know, places that where people were tortured.
Yeah. Well, we were there 6 months ago, so I'm good.
but there are, there, in Japan, there's a haunted forest. There's that park right down.
Yeah, I'm part Japanese. So my dad asked me, hey, why don't you guys come over here and investigate? I'm like,
sure,
why not?
We're on our way. But yeah, there's so many locations and there's so many places, but, and the Philippines too, just there's about 15 other places we know of that we want to get to there as well. And, so the list grows bigger every day and we check off maybe one every 2-3 months. So it's going to take a while to complete that list.
Right.
For sure. And are there any upcoming interviews or events or anything that you would like to mention?
At the moment, with the holidays right around the corner, we've slowed everything up. I mean, we just completed the Halloween tours at the hospital. We did Day of the Dead night tours. We did a lot of events leading up to this point, and we haven't refocused yet for January. We're giving our mind a little bit of a break, but 2020 will definitely be loaded with not only events, tours, opportunities for the hospital, and of course we always have our eye open for other locations to add as well. So we'll see what 2020 brings.
Well, I want to thank you both so much for coming on today. It's been great talking to you, and I would love to have you back on in the future.
Awesome, Sophia. Thank you so much for having us. It was a great show. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much, and we wish you a happy holiday.
Absolutely.
And hope you enjoy your Christmas.
New Year. Yeah,
well,
and
Christmas
New Year.
First.
Well, of course. We'll do them in order.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah, Merry,
well,
Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Thanks so much.
Happy
guys.
Holidays to you both.
Thank
All
you,
right.
guys.
Thank you both.
Thanks.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks so much. Well, great show today, Sophia.
Definitely. They were such great guests. I want to thank you, everyone, for listening. The show definitely would not be possible without all of you. And as they said, Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays, everyone. Have a great New Year. I'll talk to you guys next time. Bye.
Yeah, we have the big break coming up. I want to remind everybody, for hosted tours, and as as Tony mentioned, and Tony and Cherie Rathman, as they mentioned, everybody visit entityvoices.com. That's entityvoices.com. But also for other fellow paranormal investigative teams, they host the tours. And really go to this website and see the mass expanse of this location, coppercanyonprc.com. That's coppercanyonprc.com. Twitter at entityvoices. YouTube search, Entity Voices Paranormal Investigations, and UniversalParanormal.com. Also, coming back from the break, as mentioned, Fox Valley Ghost Hunters, Travis and Melissa Clevenger, they'll be on January 11th of 2020. The Heritage Hunter Society founder, Michael Lacciano, will be returning to the program on January 18th. Award-winning Let's Talk Paranormal show host, Tracy Austin, will be on the program on January 25th. Squatch Files research team founder and author John Kuykendall, he returns to the program on February 15th. And we have other investigative hosts and paranormal teams coming back on this show. Others for the first time, they're securing their guest spots as we speak. So you don't want to miss any of these upcoming broadcasts. So like the ghost host Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com to learn about our guests as we learn of them real time. Fantastic show today. We'll see you when we come back first week of January, and enjoy the archive shows. We'll pick some best ofs of Sophia's broadcast over the span of this past 8 years. So enjoy. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to everybody. And we'll see you when we return.
Hi, this is Debbie at Xeon Ghost Adventures. You're listening to The Ghost Host with your host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
God bless you all.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.